This is the Startup CEO, a podcast for the innovators, the problem solvers, and the leaders of the next generation of business, giving you insights on how to be a successful startup CEO. With your hosts, Jeff Graham and Luke Fox.
Welcome to the first in a series of four podcasts about how to be a successful startup CEO. I'm Luke Fox, the founder and CEO of White Fox, a global leader in drone security. Our speaker today is a personal mentor of mine who has helped many CEOs achieve successful companies. I am honored to introduce Jeff Graham. Jeff has been himself a CEO in four different Silicon Valley startups over the past 20 years. Before that, Jeff was a senior executive in four publicly traded computer companies. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your hard-won wisdom.
Thanks for the introduction, Luke. I'm very glad to be talking with you today.
So, Jeff, what would you like to accomplish in this series, and where's the best place to start?
Well, these are four podcasts targeted at first-time CEOs who are founders of venture-backed startups. Typically, they have a strong technical and visionary background, but are less knowledgeable about the other company functions. So the focus of these podcasts is to provide fundamental and practical ideas that should help a new CEO be more successful. Each of the podcasts are under 50 minutes long. The first topic today in this session is all about the product, because it all starts with the product. In subsequent podcasts, we will discuss personal leadership and people management, followed by key business metrics in the management cycle, and finally, managing your stakeholders and your organization structure.
Wow, this sounds so great. I have lots of questions and I'm super excited to hear your thoughts on all of these. We're going to cover a lot of territory. What do you think are the major challenges then for startups in the product development process?
Well, technology development, as Ralph Waldo Emerson once put it, is about building a better mousetrap. And any tech company is only as good as its product. And I firmly believe that. More often than not, most startups begin building a product without fully thinking through who their specific target market is and what the profile of their target customer is. So often they don't know the detailed unique needs of those customers in that market. Compounding the problem even more, they then go on to hire a sales team too early and spend money and time trying to find a customer who wants the product they have. This, quite frankly, is all because they didn't spend enough time fully defining their value proposition and knowing exactly who the customer is and what the customer wants. So my opening advice is don't rush to action before getting your research and planning done. In this context, I always like to remember the famous Abraham Lincoln quote, which is, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I'll spend the first four sharpening the axe." If you don't prepare well, the result will be the company wastes its time and money, and frequently it never recovers after that. Now, founders have usually a strong product functionality vision of what early adopters need. The trick is transitioning to a customer needs-driven product development for Main Street adoption. This transition needs to be a conscious transition also for the sales and marketing teams.
Wow, this sounds all too familiar. Why do you think that this is the case?
There are several causes, Lou. Often technical founders believe they know exactly what features the product needs, and all they need is good salespeople to sell it. In fact, they often believe the product will sell itself. Sometimes it's because of a lack of understanding of the value of other functions, like marketing. Of course, there's always a strong desire in technical teams to start writing code quickly. Historically, technology product development has always been about melding technical innovation and solving customer needs. A generation ago, most startups were in hardware, and they leveraged unique technical innovation that changed the playing field. Today, most startup concepts are software solutions. In reality, they're applications. So with software, it's much more critical that you understand the customer's problems that you're trying to solve.
Well, this seems like a really easy mistake to make. What do we need to do to avoid making this mistake?
Well, first, I believe the length of the development cycle is directly correlated to the success of the product. The shorter, the better. The longer the product development is, the more likely it is to diverge from its original concept and become more complex. My advice here at this basic level is keep your product releases very simple and very focused on key functions. However, The most important thing of all is defining the fundamental value proposition of the product. A startup needs to answer this value proposition question in detail. Earlier in my career at IBM, I was taught the concept of FAB, features, advantages, and benefits. A feature is, what does a product do? An advantage is, how is it better than the alternatives or the competitors? And a benefit is, what are the benefits the customer derives from using your product? I think most founders understand the features part. It's these latter two points, advantages and benefits, that usually get shortchanged. One must understand what functionality your competitors have, and specifically, what are your customers' needs, and how much they will pay you for the functionality you deliver. All these things must be fully thought through and concept tested in an iterative process with the market and the customers.
So knowing this is the tendency, what should startup CEOs do to proactively navigate that FAB?
Well, frequently, startups hire product managers too late, i.e. once the product's developed. And that's a mistake, quite honestly. You need them at the beginning of the development cycle. It's the product manager who spends the time to understand the customer's needs and brings those prioritized needs back into engineering. Keyword here is prioritized. Prioritizing the needs allows you to make a product roadmap, too, of releases that you can share internally and externally, being able to tell a customer what they're going to get today and in the future is very important. It's also a mistake to hire salespeople before you hire outbound product marketing people. It's product marketing's role to educate the sales team as to who the customer is and what the product does and why it's superior to competitors and what are the customer benefits. If this function doesn't exist, the sales team are forced to make up this story and bring in customers who they think are a good fit. The wrong type of customer then will ask engineering for features that the core market perhaps doesn't need. This becomes a dangerous downward spiral process and can destroy a company. It's also worth noting that product marketing can also be an extremely valuable function for educating and building the market with the analysts and the press. And importantly, product marketing can really help you simplify your market messages and reduce the complexity of your marketing communications.
Yes, that's so true. I mean, I can completely attest how easy it is to assume hiring salespeople is what you got to do to sell. But clearly a lot must happen before then. Is there anything else that we need to be aware of?
Well, Luke, you know from talking to me before, I have several recurring themes. One of them is focus. I remember an old boss at HP used to say, do a few things well. A good example of this is, which customers do you really want to chase? Obviously, when we all start to try and build global solutions for billion-dollar markets. However, the first thing you have to do, in the words of Geoffrey Moore, is cross the chasm. In my opinion, by the way, Geoffrey Moore's book written over 20 years ago is still one of the best marketing books around. Fundamentally, what Moore said was, you need to understand who your innovative early adopters who will buy your product. That's exactly what your marketing and sales team have to target in the early stage. It's kind of elephant hunting in the extreme. Focus and don't try to boil the ocean. This applies to almost everything you do in a startup. Focus also applies to your product offering too. Stay focused on a single product early on and avoid the temptation of several product versions. It's also critical to institutionalize the product lifecycle process. Otherwise, product development becomes a reactive, haphazard process. The product lifecycle process will help you understand where your customers are in the stage of adoption. You don't want to be developing product for mainstream before you've crossed the chasm.
It's like focusing. You got to be like a laser beam, and you got to keep that eye right on the target of what we're aiming for. So now that one of the many distractions that I can think of that where we lose that focus is often competition. Like, what are your thoughts on then how to manage competitors?
Well, yeah, definitely competitors are an interesting topic. Let me say something that may sound kind of odd. In a startup, you really shouldn't view your competitors as the enemy. You need to work with your competitors to build the market. That's the most important thing, and not to try and destroy them individually. Do not view the market as a small pizza so that if your competitor gets a bigger slice, you get a smaller slice. The answer is make the pizza bigger. Create the market. And that's what you're doing with your competitors. I try to meet the CEOs of my competitors, and I often suggest to them that we use the same terms and views when we talk to analysts and press. And then we try to build the market together, sometimes even building forums that bring us together defining common standards. And I know you've done that, Luke, in your market.
Thanks to your advice.
By the way, it's not a good idea to tell a potential investor that you have no competitors, which often startups do. They will probably think that means there isn't a market. Conversely, lots of competitors usually means there's a big market out there. Let me say this too. I think you should always have your competitors' products in-house so you can analyze them on a continuous basis. It's always shocked me that few startups do that. Frequently, they don't know enough about their competitors, and I find they talk glibly about them without any real evidence. Don't drink your own Kool-Aid. It was Andy Groves, the Intel CEO, that said, only the paranoid survive. And I think he was right. You need to be slightly paranoid and watch your competitors closely. There's no monopoly on good ideas, and you can learn a lot from others. It's worth remembering that often the first entrants into a market do not keep the pole position. That's often because the second and third entrants have learned from the competitors' mistakes. So remember, watch and learn from your competitors.
That's very interesting. And that gets me thinking, what should we do then to protect our product? Do you think that patents are important?
Well, if you ever go through an acquisition process, you'll find your patents are highly valued and can change a company's valuation. However, I prefer to think about defensible or unique intellectual property that build barriers to your competitors. Patent filing takes a lot of time and money, so I think it's important to only register patents when you think you've invented something truly unique and valuable. I suggest only filing patents in your core technology area and put some monetary incentives in place so that your engineers are motivated to file patents.
Well, speaking of saving time and money, I know for me, something that really helped keep us focused was our go-to-market models. Can you share any thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. This is a very important topic too. The core question here is, how do you reach the target customer? Do you need a partner with someone to do that? The three main components of a go-to-market model are, what are your alternative paths to reach that customer? That's number one. The second one is, what's the cost of each path? Because they can be different. And the third one is, what's the most effective path in terms of time and the likelihood of success? Let me give you an example. Let's imagine you defined your ideal target customer as a consumer who buys Wi-Fi. Trying to reach that customer directly will be very expensive and time-consuming. A far more effective path might be to go to market with a Wi-Fi vendor like Netgear. If your product provides a benefit to the end user consumer and makes the installation and support easier for Netgear, it would also enable a Wi-Fi vendor to get some recurring revenue and while reducing their operating costs. So this may be your most effective go-to-market model. Understanding these related ecosystem go-to-markets is an important thing you need to do.
So interesting. And so I'm curious to get your final thoughts on the market and what that really looks like for companies.
Well, if you have the choice, I would recommend always focus on the commercial enterprise business-to-business market. Government, telco, cable, consumer markets are much tougher. They're much tougher to enter, and they're far slower to make progress in. So they can be very hard on you. So focus on, if you have the choice, on the enterprise.
At least at first.
As regards geography, in the beginning, don't spread yourself too thin. Focus on the US market first. Start by putting a salesperson on each coast. Do not go international until you've crossed the chasm, in the US specifically. Once that's done and the US is up and running, you can look at Western Europe and start in the UK and then Germany and Northern Europe, followed by France and Southern Europe. Avoid the Middle East, Asia, Latin America, Eastern Europe until much, much later. And definitely avoid any suggestions of joint ventures.
Wow. This has been such an informative conversation. Jeff, I've really enjoyed this and I've learned a lot here. You know, some of the takeaways that I've noted along the way are, one, we need to plan and prepare and understand who our first customers are. Two, we need to hire marketing talent before hiring sales folks. Three, we should view competitors as collaborators to build the market. And finally, 4, we really need to think through our go-to-market model so it's both effective and efficient. But Jeff, this has just been so incredibly helpful, and I really appreciate you sharing your valuable wisdom with us.
You're very welcome, Lou. Thank you.
And for all of those listening, I hope you join us on the next episode on How to Become a Successful CEO of a Startup with Jeff Graham.